This is New Beginnings. Supported by AARP in the Twin Cities. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
You are listening to New Beginnings, and I am Freddie Bell, and with me now is our co-host on our program, as always, every Saturday at this time on New Beginnings, is Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. Hello, Joe McKenzie.
Hello, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And, you know, we always like to talk about, we like to level set and just let people know what Ripple Connects is all about.
Absolutely. Ripple Connects is the company that I formed to help people reinvent, recalibrate, retool their careers. And Freddie, I did that through very specific techniques of interview practice, helping people put together their self-marketing plans so they can easily have people become advocates of them out there and what they're looking for. We also talk about transferable skills. Everybody has transferable skills, but we have to be able to talk about them. And so we basically help people to do that. And they can reach out to me in two different ways. My website is rippleconnects.com. I would encourage people to go to that and see how I've impacted individuals in their own careers differently. And they can reach me at 763-438-1621. I return everybody's calls because it's the right thing to do.
All right. And our topic this week, you entitled it Burst into the Search. It's an interesting yes. title. I've never heard you share that kind of a title before. How does it relate bursting into the search into an individual's job search?
I work with so many different people in all aspects of their life. Some people that I work with are fully employed or part-time employed and they're working. And then I have people that have they are in full-time job search. And remember, Freddie, we've often been told that finding a job is a full-time job, right? You've heard that phrase, right?
Oh, time and time again.
So often I've seen that where people start to cringe a little bit because many people take it to mean, okay, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, I got to be on the clock looking for a job. Okay. I've seen speakers talk about that. I've seen people really take that to heart. And after about 2-3 weeks of job search and all of a sudden you're not getting traction, there's guilt, there's sluggish activity, and they really get beaten down by that mindset that finding a job is a full-time job. So I'm just dreading Monday morning. I'm dreading Wednesday morning. I want to take a different look at it. And it's based upon people that I've worked with. I've worked with several people here in the last couple of years that say, you know what, Joe, I took the morning off. I walked around the lake and guess what? I came back with a person I forgot about who I can talk to about what I want to do. Or I have an idea about what I want to add on my LinkedIn account. Mm-hmm. They took the morning off to walk around the lake to have that downtime. And all of a sudden they come back with 2 or 3 ideas that they can batch or put together in an afternoon of high performance. Think of the different mindset that I just described versus finding a job is a full-time job. Think about the creativity that happened by allowing yourself some downtime, an idea that you hadn't thought about, or a person, or and just how it's going to become actionable. That's why I want to talk about this today. I don't want to have people feeling guilty that they took a walk around the lake or cleaned their garage and they had the greatest idea in regards to their job search, because that's when it happens.
That is so interesting. And the way that you laid it out, that looking for a job is a full-time occupation. I've thought that for years, and I've even shared that with my children, that it is a full-time job, especially if you don't have one. You need to be, and I'm pounding my fist, you need to be really on it. You need to be yes. looking, go, go, go. Why are you relaxing? Yes. But yes. I love your approach. It's different, and it allows, as you mentioned, for more creativity. So how can you apply this approach to your own search and still achieve that employment goal?
Well, we want to approach it with our own organic pattern of life. You know, I led off the 2018 with a we talked about the wisdom of crowds and cognitive diversity and how that adds to career search. I read this book called Bursts by Barabasi, and it's about an 8-year-old book, but it talks about how people have these bursts of energy or activity and then followed by a long period of inactivity. And I started seeing that a lot of my clients would come back to me and say, you know what? I took my grandkids to the Mall of America today, and then I came back with the greatest idea. Or over the weekend when I was spending time, you know, with some old college mates, I had this great idea. And I started applying that to this. And I started to push back on that mentality of finding a job is a full-time job. And why can't we allow ourselves to have that creativity or that downtime? So following that organic pattern of life, and I see it as batching, Freddie. What I mean by batching, many times I'll be up at 5 a.m. and I'll send out some of the best emails I have in that given day between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. And then I make some of my best calls between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. when I'm on, when I have to be succinct and have to move things forward. I start to batch my activity, but I don't force myself to say, okay, on Tuesday, now I got to make all my calls between 10 and 1 p.m. I make sure that I kind of get into the day's rhythm so I can be at optimum performance. Mm-hmm. And so that's why that batching is so critical. So you send out an email and you may be in that rhythm to send another succinct email. And that's how I'm approaching it. This book that I talked about talks about those hidden patterns in our lives. And now that we have timestamps to all our emails and text, we see how people, you know, do have bursts of energy. Mm-hmm. But that also gives you that optimum performance.
That's interesting. You know, everybody, we're talking to Joe McKenzie about bursting into the job search. And you're really applying a new idea to what downtime actually is. And it may be downtime in one aspect, but it really isn't, because it allows that creative force to come through.
Absolutely. The ability to re-energize, recalibrate. Say you had an interview, phone interview that didn't go well, and then you're thinking about it, and you make two or three other calls to your network to reach out right on the cusp of having a bad phone interview. How effective do you think those calls are going to be? You may need to re-energize and recalibrate that day. And I'm going to give you permission to do that. If as long as you're striving towards those goals and not looking at the clock, you're going to be more successful if you follow some of these versus, well, I guess I just got to sit here for the next 3 hours and try to make something happen, but I really don't feel like being here, Freddie. Mm-hmm. Maybe where we need to re-energize, recalibrate, and look at our job search a little bit differently.
So a job search could be like trying on a new pair of pants or a new suit, dress. It has to be tailored to fit the individual needs, I'm gathering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody's patterns are going to look differently. I do my best email writing in the morning. I do my best phone calls and meetings between 10 and 3 p.m. That's me, though. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have a difference. So as long as we recognize some of those patterns, but we also batch them, you know, if we efficiently put something together, finished a project or made two or three calls, maybe we continue with that batching of calls and keep that momentum. You know, you think of a salesperson, you want to make sure that they, when they're prospecting on the phones, that they're at their best, not at their worst, right?
That's correct.
Because those calls are not going to go well if they're not at their best. And they might as well just wait until 2 o'clock or another time when they're at their best versus forcing it. And that's the same, that same mindset applies here. And I think talking about how bursts of activity followed by some downtime to recalibrate, re-energize may be a different approach that many job seekers today can embrace and benefit from.
So as we go into the week, what are two things that we should remember, or what are a couple of things we can put into action right now?
I would say figure out some of your patterns. And when do you feel that you're hitting your stride on a certain activity, and you start thinking of batching, and that's the first step of being actionable. If you feel that you can put together 7-8 very succinct emails and get them out, or make 7 or 8 phone calls and have good conversations, or set up appointments in your job search. And then you think about when you're at your best for phone interviews. When they ask you the times, if you're more of an afternoon person, give yourself that time, but also schedule that downtime, because finding a full-time job is a full-time job, but it doesn't necessarily mean Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. It could be Sunday evening, Saturday morning, Monday night. Think about it. Let's find where we're all at our best and follow those bursts of energy and just apply that to our own, organic pattern of life, I guess.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's how I see it.
Does make a lot of sense, and we got to leave it right there. And you do some fine work, Joe McKenzie. I got to tell you, over at Ripple Connects.
We do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our program continues on New Beginnings right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
You are listening to New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. So excited to be with you this weekend. A lot of great things happening this weekend, but I know this is a point at listening, and we're excited that you're with us. Please welcome to our microphones as we segue into our health, fitness, and wellness segment. Please welcome our newest contributor, Mr. O'Neill Hampton. You may remember him from The Biggest Loser, but I know him from New Beginnings. Welcome back to our program, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Every week I get more and more excited about being here and coming on air. I just love helping. I love helping people, and I love people to have options and choices that's positive for them.
Well, you know, a lot of people are, their families are going through graduation. Kids are graduating from college. I just had my own daughter graduate not long ago. Mm-hmm. High school graduations, first communion, all of this is happening, and these are times when people are getting together. So if we're on a particular journey of health, fitness, and wellness, how do we handle, O'Neill, or address issues when we go to these graduation parties? Maybe it's a wedding, maybe it's a bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. What do we do? How do we take care of ourselves during these couple of months so far as eating goes?
You know, people have a tendency to think that the wintertime is the worst, or it's so hard in the wintertime because I'm trapped in. I can't do anything. No, from my experience personally, it's the summertime. For those exact reasons you said, Freddie Bell, I mean, we have graduation parties. We have wedding parties. We have barbecues. We have bar mitzvah. We have all these things clamoring us. And the other thing that we have, we go to these things, and a lot of these foods at these different functions is not on our diet plan. It's not on our health plan. And we know that we shouldn't be eating a lot of things. I'm raising my hand right now. I'm just as guilty as anyone else out there, you know, but here's the thing. You have to realize, and like that, like we talked about in the previous weeks before, you have to realize one day of falling down is not going to hurt you. And one day, and actually you don't want to deprive yourself either. You don't want to starve yourself. You don't want to deprive yourself. You don't want to, if I were to say after I got off the show that I'll never eat another cookie, I'll never have another piece of cake in my life, that would be totally false. And that would be unrealistic to me, and it'd be unrealistic to what I'm trying to accomplish. No, you have, I'll give you a good example. Like when my wife and I go out, we'll have a meal and we'll order dessert. Yes, I do. Believe it or not, I order dessert. Mm-hmm. And it's usually the most expensive dessert on the menu. And the most expensive dessert is probably the smallest one. I don't care what it is. And we split it in half. Yes, we split it in half, and I have it. So I have a little taste of something without indulging and not without going overboard. So yes, have that piece of cake at the graduation party. Have that, you know, that piece of whatever. But just don't overindulge. And one day is not going to hurt you, but you have to know, just like we said in the previous week, you got to get right back on it when you go again. But that's the best way to deal with these issues, and kind of don't go to these issues right off of like you fast. Don't go to none of these issues of barbecue after you've been fasting all day, because I guarantee you're going to overindulge. And I have too. And when I'm talking this, I'm talking to that man in the mirror, because I'm talking about myself too as well. But that's why I'm able to say that with conviction, because I know I'm speaking from the heart and I'm speaking from the truth. But yeah, so moderation, have it in a small amount, have a taste of it. Even if you do get that piece of cake, cut it in half and say, oh, that's enough, and give it to someone else, or say, no, I only want a small piece, and no, can I have this? And believe it or not, that is just enough to satisfy anything, your taste buds that's going on. Because I tell you what, like they say, nothing tastes as good as your health.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking with O'Neill Hampton, our contributor for health, fitness, and wellness on New Beginnings. So how do we find time to make sure that we get that work in, or to stay healthy during the summer when we got all these different things? We just talked about the graduation parties. Now the kids are out of school, or we're just getting busy. We've got outdoor activities. How do we find the time, O'Neill, to get that workout in when all of these other things are impinging upon us?
here's the best thing to do. Now some people's not a morning person, but I am a morning person. So I say, get it in the morning, get it right away in the morning when not much is going on. Cause as the day go on, so as other things. Now, some people, if you can actually do it in the evening, then by God, do it in the evening. But Fred, you get up early in the morning, so that would be awfully hard for someone, for a radio personality who gets up early to do that. So if you have to, but you have to find time to make yourself happy. Because here's the thing. You will slip. You will be complacent to something that you don't want to be complacent to. Mm-hmm. You will say, well, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, today is tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Mm. And that's what it is. Tomorrow never comes. Today is tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. So actually, you have to start right now. Now, people say, well, how do I start? How do I start? I'm going to tell you a real quick story. My brother taught me how to drive. And now I'm an older man. I learned how to drive on the 1951 Cambridge Plymouth. It had a three in a tree. So we driving, and I was from Chicago. I turned the corner just hoping someone to see me drive. So I'm driving, and instead of pressing on the brake, I pressed on the gas because it was clutch, brake, gas. We start going. He said, O'Neal, what are you doing? And I thought, oh, that's a dumb question. You know what I'm doing. I'm about to crash into something. So what I did, I took my feet off the gas. I applied the clutch and I applied the brake and I stopped well before we hit anything. So here's where I'm going with that. Take your feet off the gas. Take your feet off the gas that's taking you in the direction where you don't want to go. You have to find time to get to where you want to go. You have to find time to do that workout. And it's so essential. Make that time to do that workout. Even if it's something as going up and down your basement steps, even if it's something that's going up and down, getting in and out of your chair, doing commercials. That's how you find time. And that time right there, that makes a big difference for you.
Wow. And speaking of time, we're out of time. That email address and telephone number for our listeners who would like to get in contact with you, O'Neal?
Sure. It's osajh@hotmail.com. That's the email address. The phone number is area code 612-827-3832. Please call.
And that's O'Neal Hampton right there. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Here's Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects. How can you bring to light the hidden job market?
You bring the hidden job market by talking with the meaningful connections in your life and thinking critically about your network. The hidden job market is real. Up to 75% of positions filled today are unadvertised. And the best way to leverage the opportunities in that hidden job market is to talk to the people in your network. You paint a picture of what your next job looks like so they can be your eyes and ears to bring the hidden job market to you.
How can we reach you, Joe McKenzie?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight? That you can't stop smoking? That you can't get over a fear? That you can't? $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Now the Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
If you want to do more, gain more, or be more, that's prosperity, our point of focus. Even though abundance and prosperity is as vast as the ocean, you can only carry as much water as your container will hold. If you want to enjoy more, if you want to experience more, if you want to have more, you have to come to the party with a larger container. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get ready. You have to be in that moment and be ready to experience prosperity no matter how it comes. So when you come looking for water, bring the largest container you can find. And after you fill that container, be sure to share it with others. That's our point of focus, prosperity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, I'd welcome the chance to speak to your organization. To learn how, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I gotta promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, and my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today, thunderstorms are likely, with half an inch of rain possible. Highs near 75. Night, lows around 65. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 81. And Sunday night, a chance of rain with lows around 66. Monday, a high of 82 and a low around 58. Eating Local Minnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Seward Co-op Creamery. With a menu that features dishes ranging from vegetarian sandwiches to fresh burgers, the Seward Co-op Creamery is committed to sustaining a healthy community. Check them out at 2601 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Continuing on New Beginnings, we're talking about your body at age 60 plus and what to expect, what to look forward to, and what to do now for a longer, healthier life. As we continue, let's talk a little bit about your brain. As you're a little bit older than 50, you're much wiser now than you were in your 50-year-old self. And the reality check is that when you do the math, you may not be able to do the math on the fly, but that's okay because you still have your smarts. To stay smart, your brain rewires. It links areas on the right and left hemispheres to remember names now, and it processes emotions through the prefrontal cortex and the amygdala, another trick younger brains don't do as well, so you're less bothered by negative stuff and get a bigger boost from positive experiences. And you grow wiser. In one study, people in their 60s tested higher in their ability to compromise, maintain perspective, and be flexible than young or middle-aged people did. That's pretty good. And yes, you're losing neurons. Then again, you've been losing them at a rate of about 25,000 a day since your 20s. Synapses begin to thin out, and mental processing speed and the ability to do math quickly in your head are not what they used to be. And all that sofa time is not helping either. People in their 60s watch more than 3 hours of television a day compared with the 2 hours that teenagers watch. But exercise can keep your mind vital. Staying active may prevent shrinkage of the hippocampus in those at increased genetic risk for Alzheimer's disease. Exercise also lowers your chances for dementia by nearly 30%. You have more control over depression. In a recent Gallup poll, people in their later 60s got significant emotional benefits from exercise. Check this out. Just 3 days of exercise per week decreased the odds for depression by 42%. It also increased the chances of feeling optimistic by 32%, higher than for other age groups in this poll. And even as you're getting anxious about losing your memory, if you're among the 3 out of 4 people in their 60s who rank losing their memory as their top aging concern, don't lose sleep over recent studies connecting dementia risk to common aging issues such as diminished sense of smell. It's too soon to know what these findings really mean for future risk or what to do about it, that according to the researchers. They do say that now is the age to be on the lookout for a TIA. If you have a weird thunderclap headache, sudden balance problems, numbness, or temporary vision problems, take them seriously. These could be signs of a type of stroke called a transient ischemic attack, TIA. Now, if you're in doubt, call 911. Just 2 days after a TIA, your risk for a stroke is 3 to 10%. At 3 months, it's 9 to 17%. We're talking about what to expect as we age and you get beyond the age of 60. Let's talk about your senses a little bit now. The good news is your vision begins to stabilize in your 60s and you're less likely to need a new prescription for your glasses. The reality check is that taste, smell, and your sense of touch are slightly reduced. It's a great time to explore new and interesting foods. If you've always avoided, let's say, Indian food because you couldn't handle the spice, now might be the time to rethink that. The number of taste-sensing cells on your tongue have diminished somewhat. Salty and sweet tastes are the first to decline, along with overall flavor intensity. And strong aromas don't bother you as much as they once did. Way up in your nose, nerve endings intercept odors and send them to your brain for processing. These sensors wear out eventually, so while bad smells may not offend you as much, you may also miss warning signs for smoke or gas, for instance. Make certain you have working smoke alarms and other safety systems in place. Did anybody ever tell you that you look fabulous in those sunglasses? Your natural tears contain less oil now, so they don't lubricate the surface of your eyes as they once did as effectively. So think twice about prescription dry eye drops. They work for only a limited number of people. Preservative-free artificial tears, a humidifier, and sunglasses when you're outdoors are a better bet. For severe cases, your ophthalmologist can install plugs in the tear ducts at the inner corner of your eye so tears stick around longer. But maybe you're nervous about driving at night. The tiny muscles that work your pupils are less peppy after age 60, so at night they don't open as wide to let in light, and they take longer to shrink when an oncoming car flashes its high beams. Spotting subtle contrast is tougher too, making it more difficult to see signs and road hazards at night and to judge the speed of other vehicles. No wonder nearly 20% of people stop driving at night by their late 60s. To make driving easier, keep your headlights, mirrors, and windows clean. As you approach your 60s, you might be looking at cataract surgery. In fact, in the United States, the median age for this procedure is 67 and a half. Although people who live in more sun-soaked regions are more likely to require surgery at a younger age, getting rid of your cataracts could cut the risk for traffic accidents in half. And what about hearing aids? Can you hear me now? Thanks to decades of noise exposure, about 43% of us have mild to moderate hearing loss in one or both ears. Today's hearing aids are barely noticeable. If hearing aids no longer work for you, ask your doctor about cochlear implants, which can improve the hearing, and both of which could protect your brain. Poor vision has been linked to a 90% higher risk for cognitive and memory problems, and hearing loss can contribute to worsening memory and cognitive problems, perhaps because you have less information coming into your brain. We're continuing our discussion about what to expect after age 60. Let's look at your structure. The good news is maintaining your fitness will put the brakes on aging. We've talked about that. The reality check also says that you're slowing down just a bit. Even if you're an avid fitness buff, dietary changes can help. It's time to embrace the power of protein. By your 60s, you might have lost as much as 20% of the muscle you once had. To hold on to it a little longer, it's suggested that you eat more protein throughout the day. Now, by making this a priority, you'll cut your risk for diabetes, heart disease, and frailty in the decades to come, especially if you want to lose weight. In a study of older adults, those who cut 300 calories per day lost 12 pounds, but 2 of those pounds were muscle. On the other hand, those who cut calories and did strength training lost nearly 20 pounds, and more of this came from pure fat. And making old person noises when you get out of the chair. In a different study, those who squeezed in nearly 2 workouts were 46% more likely to live another 15 years. People in their 60s developed the muscle power of a 40-year-old in just 4 months by strength training at least 1 hour and 45 minutes a week. You don't have to live with your belly. Belly fat boosts your risk for high blood pressure, diabetes, and heart disease, regardless of your weight. The good news is, it's the first fat to scram from a healthy diet and exercise, or creaky knees, it's going to be right there in the belly. By your early 60s, the cartilage cushion that keeps knees comfy starts to wear away. By losing just 5 to 10% of your weight if you're overweight can slow the degeneration of cartilage. Every pound of body weight exerts 4 pounds of extra pressure on your knees with every step. You probably need new shoes. Feet flatten out and get bigger as muscles and connective tissue weaken and the 26 bones in your tootsies start to shift. Weight gain adds to the issue. Your shoe size may grow as much as a full size between your early 50s and mid-60s. Bone health should also become a priority in your 60s. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 25 men in their late 60s and 70s have osteoporosis. As a result, your fracture risk soars starting in your late 60s, and broken bones, especially of the hip and spine, can steal your independence. But supplements aren't a cure-all. Older adults are popping more calcium and vitamin D pills than ever before, but a recent analysis of people 50-plus shows that supplements don't guard against brittle bone breaks. What does? Weight-bearing exercise, such as walking, dancing, and strength training, plus calcium from foods like dairy and canned salmon with bones. Leafy greens, such as spinach, contribute too. We're talking this week about what to expect as you age into your 60s. Let's talk about your looks right now. Oh, I know you look good. The good news is, from people like Halle Berry and Meryl Streep to Liam Neeson, stars in their 60s are still stunners and action heroes. The reality check is, keep an eye out for subtle changes that may indicate larger issues. You may not even have facial wrinkles. If you're dark-skinned or even if you're light-skinned but always wore sunscreen and a hat, you may not have any wrinkles until age 70. And you can hold your place in time a bit longer. Head off future signs of aging related to sun exposure by wearing sunscreen and a broad-brimmed hat outside. In a recent headline-grabbing Massachusetts General Hospital study, women who did this faithfully and had low sun exposure looked more youthful. Skin care products, such as those containing retinoids, can also help. Munching foods packed with vitamin C, like citrus, could lower your wrinkle risk as well. Perhaps now you're noticing that you have more age spots than ever before. 9 out of 10 white women and men in their 60s have brownish skin spots triggered by years of sun exposure. Keep an eye on them. If you see any changes or anything unusual, make sure you tell your doctor. Up to half of Americans who live to age 65 will have either basal or squamous cell carcinoma at least once, and the average age for melanoma is 63. That's the most deadly of all skin cancers. And your skin needs more moisture than ever. Mature skin doesn't stay as hydrated as younger skin. It allows more moisture to escape and may have fewer sweat and oil glands too. As many as 75% of older adults have dry skin. Try taking shorter baths or showers, using warm, not hot water, and mild cleansers. Apply a moisturizer you like every day. A humidifier can also help your dry skin. Weird. You're in your cavity prone years again. In fact, your teeth are almost as vulnerable to tooth decay as your grandchildren. Thanks to oral health products such as dry mouth, odor fillings, and less than stellar brushing and flossing routines, 1 in 5 adults in their 60s have untreated tooth decay. If lack of health insurance is holding you back, which is common after age 65, look into dental discount cards and dental school clinics for affordable care. Another reason why dentist visits are critical, the median age of diagnosis for oral cancers is 62. Men, unfortunately, are twice the risk compared with women. How about dry mouth? You might want to check your medication. Saliva helps keep your mouth clean, your teeth clean, and bathes them in minerals that keep them strong. But about 400 different medications can dry up saliva, causing problems for your choppers. Also ask your doctor for an alternative. In addition, 30% of us experience dry mouth, but sipping water and avoiding irritants such as alcohol, caffeine, and tobacco can help you to stay moisturized. And it's time to get serious about thinning hair. 30 to 40% of women in their 60s and more than 50% of men have more pronounced hair loss. There are a lot of things that can help. Consult your doctor on that as well. And also, cancel that nail appointment. Your nails grow more slowly as you age. How do we know? A university professor says that he's tracked the growth of his fingernails and toenails for 35 years, periodically publishing updates in the archives. And what he found is that while every nail had his own unique pace, overall growth slowed by 22% between his early 30s and his mid-60s. And you thought nobody checked those kinds of things. And your eyes may look a little bigger. As your skin gets thinner and loses its elasticity, some of your facial features may become more prominent. Your eyes may look larger because your eye sockets widen and they get longer. What about gray hair? Who cares? In a recent national study, just 1 in 11 people over 65 thought being a silver fox meant someone who was old, compared with 1 in 4 people in their 20s. Odds are that 1 in 3 that you do have gray hair, but up to 65% of women and up to 12% of men dye their hair. Your relationship status is happy in your 60s. Your enhanced social intelligence and ability to compromise make living together easier. A whopping 98% of people in their late 60s say they are pretty or very happy with their marriage. And yes, the divorce rate for Americans age 65 plus has tripled since the 1990s. But the bottom line is that only 6 in 1,000 older spouses are calling it quits. We're just giving you some things to look forward to as you age into your 60s. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hello, friends. I've been talking to you about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery dedicated to celebrating life and protecting our environment. One of the many wonderful things they have is something called the Living Urn. Ashes are buried in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Why don't you log on to the website, mngreengraves.com. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. See if it might be something that's meaningful for you.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister, and they invite you to their two Sunday morning services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m., as well as to their numerous weekly activities and classes. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
But let us not go too far into the metaphysics of this wonderful thing. Instead, we are here together, just to rest quietly and happily in reality. As we do this, a real transformation will be worked in us and for us. We shall reap the good fruits of our study, affirmation, and meditation. We know from our experience in unity that there is almost a universal lack of understanding of the truth of being. When we use the word truth, we mean that which is true of God and true of God's children. This spiritual truth is that you are God's own beloved child and that God is ever giving you his own wisdom, love, power, life, and substance. In the past, we have been led to believe that we are the children of physical parents and that we must get our impressions and education, form our living habits, and even do our work in the way that they direct. Because of this, we have failed to wake up and find out that we are really God's children and that we have inherited from him a perfect mind, which is capable of unfolding the wonderful Christ qualities as Jesus Christ unfolded his God-given mind. As we become aware of the truth that we are God's children and that God is the very intelligence within us, we discover that health is also our inheritance. We learn, too, that there is a divine law in life with established rules that make for health, happiness, and prosperity, if we live by them. As we learn that we are God's children, living here to find his plan for us, we become more and more interested in studying spiritual things for ourselves. We are no longer willing to accept the opinions of others, nor to live as they live, especially if their ways bring sickness and sorrow. We begin to feel rightly that there must be a way of living that will keep us well and happy. The real purpose of your life is to express the creation of God, to unfold the many departments of your mind which God has planned for you and which will enable you to know and do his will. When you know that there is nothing for you to worry about or to fear, you may then relax and feel happy. When you know that living as God has planned it here and now is beautiful and that you can know just what God's plans are for you, you will really be interested in living, won't you? Myrtle Fillmore, through the many years of her work, first catching the unity idea, I am a child of God, and then doing her work through Unity Headquarters for about four decades, she continued this great motherly love, always affirming for individuals, no matter what their challenge, no matter what their difficulty, whether it be in health, in supply, in challenges or lack of opportunity in their career, in difficult relationships. She would always fix in that motherly way upon the potential and the good within the individual, encouraging them, affirming the truth within them, so that they may get that idea strongly in their own mind and begin to make choices and actions in their life that made, as she said, for health, happiness, prosperity. Over time, some Unity students began to speak of Mama Myrtle and Papa Charlie. Never to their faces, everyone would still address them as Mr. and Mrs. Fillmore. But they seemed to embody the principles of wisdom and love to the Unity employees and students and friends. They would often address Almighty God as Father, Mother, God, to invoke the intimacy of a divine parent with both fatherly and motherly qualities. Now, some people hearing that term, Father, Mother, God, in our churches today, have even approached me and said, are you just being politically correct? Well, some can hear it that way, I suppose. But to address the divine, our Creator, as Father, Mother, God, is to recognize, as the Fillmores did, these qualities of father wisdom and mother love, that which guides and helps us discern truth, what is ours to do, and that love that never lets us down, never abandons us, is always there. For Myrtle Fillmore, her understanding of God was of a motherly nature, expressing not judgment, but infinite love for creation and all of the human family. So here we have our theme of motherly love on this Mother's Day, which of course is our understanding of spiritual love, a love for all. Its essential qualities are, it is unconditional, it is enduring, and it embraces each person. Ann Jarvis mothered soldiers, both Union and Confederate. Anna Jarvis, her daughter, had an enduring love for her mother's work and commitment to the common good, and spent her life not only honoring her mother, but establishing a tradition of honoring mothers that we celebrate to this very day. And Myrtle Fillmore, as I mentioned, was consistent in affirming the good in every individual, especially the thousands of people who wrote to her. She would respond always with encouragement and calling forth the best in the individual. So today we each have our work to do, to honor this mother principle in our own mothers. We may choose the mother who gave us birth or the woman who was a mother to us. We may consider significant women in our lives who held a faith in us, who loved us unconditionally, who were always there for us when we needed them, when we needed those motherly arms to embrace us. This is a day not so much to seek motherly love, but to express it. If your relationship with your own mother had difficult moments, and I imagine most people do, even though I can say with complete and total conviction that I had an absolutely wonderful mother, I can also recognize times when we had disagreement. But then we found a higher way.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.